Let's go ahead and stand. We'll go ahead and get to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Find your place, go ahead and stand. We'll read these verses and let you have a seat for the next 2 hours. Just kidding. I can't talk for 2 hours.
We can listen.
All right. Psalm 34. Thank you. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may seek good or may see good? Keep thy young from evil, or keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Brother Don, could you pray for the message?
Lord, thank you for giving us a place to meet, Lord, and I just thank you for your word, Lord God, your truth that's in it. I pray that you would pass your hand, Lord, as he delivers the message, Lord God, that will be attentive. We pray for your Holy Spirit to fill him, Lord God, and to give him wisdom on how to preach it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can have a seat. The duty of a pastor is to feed the flock. That's his main job. The main objective of a preacher is to feed the flock of God. And Peter, when he was reconciling with the Lord asked him, he said, Peter, lovest thou me? He said, you know I do, Lord. And he said, feed my lambs. And he asked him again two more times, do you love me? He said, yes, feed my sheep. That's the duty and the my job is to feed the flock. And that's what I tried to do on a weekly basis, and bi-weekly, tri-weekly, however many times I'm up here preaching and teaching, is to try to feed you something. And to try to give you something that will help you. Trying to make some spiritual applications of some things. Today's message isn't going to be a message like that. Today's message is going to... I'm going to brag on the Lord a little bit. I'm going to spend some time just lifting Him up, exalting Him because He's worthy of it. The purpose of this sermon, or this message, is found in the first three verses. He said, I will bless the Lord. That's what I want to do today, is try to bless the Lord. In Psalm 103, verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That should be something we all strive to do, is try to bless the Lord, trying to make Him happy, trying to please Him. That's what we're here for. You go to Revelation 4, 1. I mean, we are here for His pleasure, for His purpose, to make Him happy. And you'll see in verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I want to praise the Lord today. I want to lift Him up. I want to exalt Him because of all how good He's been to me. Psalm 146 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praise unto my God while I have any being. That's that's what I want to do today, is just try to praise the Lord, lift Him up. Like I said, most sermons are trying to help you guys. Today it's just going to be bragging on Him. It's just going to be lifting Him up. To boast on Him, to boast in Him. It says there in verse 2, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." If we have nothing in ourselves that's worthy of boasting, we're saved so we can't boast. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen. And that's boasting in your works. And we're not saved by works, so we can't boast in ourselves, but we can boast in God. Here it says, "Let us exalt His name, magnify Him." We're going to boast in Him. Psalm 44:8 says, "In God we boast all the day long, and praise Thy name forever. Selah." And we see in verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." We want to lift Him up, magnify Him. When you magnify something, you're making it bigger. You go, you know, in science class, they take microscopes or magnifying glasses to try to look at something a little, to make something small big. Well, God's as big as it gets, but we can still magnify Him even more with what we do, with our words, with our life. He deserves it. And Psalm 69:30 says, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." That's what magnifies Him, is giving Him thanks, just praising Him for what He's done for you. And then right there in verse 3 at the end, it said, "Let us exalt His name together." So the purpose of this message is to bless the Lord, to praise the Lord, to boast in the Lord, to magnify the Lord, and to exalt the Lord. Because in Psalm 99:9, it says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." So we're going to spend some time just bragging on God today. Just to boast on Him because He's been good. If there's one thing that I could say, if I had nothing else to say, is God's been good to me. And I don't deserve it. It's not because I'm a good person. It's not because I'm a preacher. It's just because we have a good God. God's been good. He's been good because of His answered prayers. Look at verse 4. It says, "I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." They look unto Him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I want to praise God and thank Him for answered prayer. It said that He saved him. He delivers. It says He delivered from all my fears. And then He said He saved him out of all of his troubles. God saved me out of the biggest trouble I ever had in my life. And that was, I was lost on my way to hell. And I want to thank God for saving me. Because one day when I was 12 years old at a Baptist church, and a Sunday school teacher spent some time with me after class and showed me in the Bible what it was to be saved, how I deserved hell because I was a sinner, and without Jesus Christ, I was lost and on my way to hell for eternity. But thanks be to God that He sent His Son down here, shed His blood on Calvary to save my soul. That's the biggest trouble anyone has. You might have health troubles. You might have financial troubles. You might have marital troubles. You might have kid troubles. But if you're lost, you got bigger trouble than all that. You need Jesus Christ to save you. And as far as I know, most everyone in here has a profession of faith to save. You know what? God can save you out of the troubles that you're still in. He saved me out of some troubles. He's kept me from some things. He saved me from my sin. But He's delivered me from some of my sin that I was still messing around with after I got saved. I want to praise Him for that. I was, for a long time, there's a period there for 10, 11 years that I've lived my life how I wanted to, and didn't have a care in the world but what pleased my flesh. And God, you know what He was? He was long-suffering in that. I want to praise Him and magnify Him for answering my prayers, because He's delivered me from some of that trouble that I was in. I should have been in more trouble than what I ever got in. I didn't get in a whole lot of trouble growing up, and just a little bit maybe when I was a young adult, but I should have gotten in a lot more. But God had His hand of protection about me and was looking after me, even though I wasn't even thinking about Him. Even though I didn't have a thought of Him and what I was doing, He delivered me from that. And Brother Don was talking about this morning, when you see that trouble, that's tribulation. That's the great tribulation, doctrinally, what's going on here. And I thank God that I don't have to worry about Jacob's trouble. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. If when God's ready to start that trouble, that trumpet's going to sound, we're going to be taken up out of here. And we don't have to worry about going through that tribulation. The rapture will take place. And we don't have to worry about those seven vials or the seven trumpets or the seven seals that the rest of the world's going to have to worry about. Where a third of men are going to get killed. Where blood's or water's going to be turned to blood. And it's just going to be God's judgment here on earth. I don't have to worry about that. I want to thank God for that, that He saved me. And I don't have to. That's something that He deserves praise for. He delivers from fears and troubles. I want to thank God for my family. I want to praise Him for my family, for my wife. She's good to me. God's given me a good one. You know, these last few years have been, you know, it's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of sacrifice. And she hasn't complained one time.
Amen.
All the time that I got to spend away from her, away from the kids, upstairs just studying, just listening to the teaching, just trying to get this Bible school thing done with and get that wrapped up. She's been there every step of the way. I thank God for her because without her, it could be a lot harder. It would be so much harder. And you know what? She's not concerned with her. She wants to please God.
Amen.
She wants to do what's right. She's trying to exalt God by, you know, giving me to God. You know, we enjoy each other's time. We enjoy each other's company. We're not like some married couples that, you know, look forward to being away from each other. We like being around each other. And that time, you know, those hours at night when she's just sitting downstairs by herself where the kids are asleep, she endures that. Why? Because she loves God. We talked about it Wednesday. She has her priorities in order. She has the things in proper order. God tells us in Exodus, I believe, 21. You don't have to turn there. But in Exodus 21:5, He says, I love my master, my wife, and my children. That's the proper order right there. You put God first, then your spouse, then your kids. And if you have things in proper order, you'll be able to get through some tough times. You'll be able to get through the long nights, the weekends where, you know, we barely see each other. We're home together, but, you know, I'm stuck up in the dungeon. And I praise God for, I'm thankful that for my wife. I'm thankful for my kids, for Grace and Eli, who already at a young age are already saved. I thank God for that day on May 1st. What year was it? 2015. And Grace got saved. Eddie was back there teaching in junior church. Teaching on hell, preaching on hell, and Grace was scared to death and knew that she was on her way there. And through tears and just anguish, asked Jesus Christ to save her soul. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the July 4th, 2019, Eli during that service up there in West Virginia was just, the Holy Spirit was dealing with him and just moving in his life. And he tears flowing down his face. I said, Eli, what's going on? He said, God's talking to me. I said, what's he saying? Then I need to get saved. He said, I need to get saved. So we went through the Bible and he asked Jesus Christ to save him that night. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for little Super Silas over there. Show me your muscles. I'm thankful for that kid. He cracks me up, and I'm praying. I'm going to praise the Lord right now for answered prayer because I know He's going to save that kid when he's ready. When the Lord's dealing with his heart, he's going to get saved. There's no doubt in my mind. We're trying to raise these kids right, trying to do the right thing, and the Lord will honor that. The Bible says, raise a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he should not depart from it. So that's what's our goal here, is to try to do what's right. He's cutting his eyes over everybody. I can't help but laugh at that kid. He's a blessing. All of them are, but I'm thanking God for my mom and my dad. My mom just going through church split after church split after church split after being done wrong, after being lied about, after all the things still endured, still going to church, still not giving up, never gave up on God. Even when anyone else would have, she didn't. Kept us going to church. Kept doing what was right. Even when the kids, me, my brother, started getting old enough where we could make our own decisions and got away from church. Still coming by herself. I praise God for her because without her, without my wife, I wouldn't be here today. I praise God for answered prayer. I thank God for this church. This church is answered prayer. There was years that we were praying about what we were going to do. You know, what, Lord, which direction are we going to go? This isn't what I wanted to do. Everyone knows my testimony. We had something else in mind. Lord was opening up doors. Sorry, Lord, we're going to step through this door. If you don't want us to, please slam it shut. And we took one step through that door, and God, the next day God slammed the door shut. And I praise God for that. I thank God for tough times and tough decisions because it's gotten us here. You know, I praise God. I'm thankful for you guys, every single one of you. I love you, and you make this so much easier than what it could be. You know, you got some hard hearts and tough people to preach to. It can be a burden up here, but it's not. I enjoy this. I enjoy getting to preach to you, and I'm looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in the future. As long as He tarries and we're not caught up out of here, I'm excited about this. I'm excited what the Lord's going to do. He's answered prayers, and He's answered many of your prayers. He's answered so many things, just little things. You know, I'm sure you guys were up on that bridge praying Friday night, Friday, or Saturday morning while you're sitting there. Lord, please help us. Please get this thing to start. And He got you out of that thing safe and sound. Even though it was scary, even though it was stressful, He answers prayers. And He's answered so many of your other prayers. We could spend the rest of eternity just thanking God for answered prayers. Things that we've prayed about and that He answered that we don't even realize He answered. I'm thankful for that. In verse 7 through 10, I'm thankful for His amazing presence. Look at verse 7. It says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivered them." That angel of the Lord, that's Jesus Christ. He encampeth around about them. You know what He does? He puts a hedge of protection about us. I thank God for His amazing presence, that He's around us, that He encamps around about me, that He's looked after me. It says in verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Have you tasted that the Lord's good? I mean, I'm trying to set this plate for you. I'm trying to make this message, what the Lord's put in my heart, something that tastes good to you guys too, because I'm sure it's stirring up memories in your hearts and in your minds of things that God's done for you. Have you ever tasted how good He is? He's sweet. He's sweet. In Psalm 104:34, it says, "My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." I'm glad because He's always with me. He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I thank God for that. That His amazing presence. It's always here. It's always round about us, even when we think we're alone. Look at Song of Solomon real quick. Song of Solomon. I'm going the wrong direction. Got me all fired up in here, and I don't know which way to go in my Bible. Song of Solomon. Chapter 2. Song of Solomon 2, verse 1. "I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys." Thank God for that rose of Sharon, that lily of the valleys. That's Jesus Christ as a lily among thorns. And that's what He was on the cross. He's that beautiful flower in between two thorns, two sinners. "So is my love among the daughters, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. So is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste." There's nothing sweeter than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's nothing sweeter than having a relationship with Him and being able to sit down underneath that tree and have that bite. It's not a Granny Smith apple He's talking about there. That's one of them sweet Gala apples. Those are the good ones. You bite into that thing and it's not going to it's not sour at all. It's sweet. That's what Jesus Christ is. He is sweet to the taste. 1 Peter 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I've tasted that He's gracious. I'm thank God for His grace, for His mercy, for His amazing presence, that He never leaves us, that He's always there, especially in our times of trouble. You can go back to Psalm 34. I thank God for His amazing presence and His sweetness. said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." If you've never tasted how good He is, you're missing out. You got to get in. You got to get in deeper. You got to get more of Him, and you'll be able to taste how sweet He really is. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him." You know what happens when you get Jesus Christ? You got a good taste of Him. You're satisfied. It says there's no want to them that fear Him. So there's a connection there with fear that He'll satisfy you. All right, He will satisfy your needs. He will satisfy your wants. If, as long as He feels like you're not going to abuse it or you can do something with it, He'll satisfy it so much more than what you just need. Look at Proverbs 19. We'll see that being satisfied is connected with fearing God. There's a little bit of a stipulation there. That's what we just read. It said, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him." So you want some satisfaction in your life, you need to have some fear of God in your life. Proverbs 19:23, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it," all right, hath what? The fear of the Lord, "it shall abide," "shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." So today we live in an unsatisfied world. Everything we have, we get unsatisfied with the vehicles we drive. We get unsatisfied with the houses we live in, with our current president or government. We find anything and everything to complain about because we're unsatisfied. You know why? Because there's a lack of fear of God in our lives. If we were fear God a little bit more, we would be satisfied with what He's given us. You know, look at Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27, "The Lord will satisfy you. You taste of Him, and He will meet your needs. He will satisfy your hunger and your thirst." He told that woman at the well, "Anyone that drinketh this water shall never thirst again." He satisfies. The devil can't do that. A lot of people try to find comfort and satisfaction in the world and in sin, and you can't find it with the devil. Look at verse 20, Proverbs 27:20. It says, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied." You know, the devil will try to get you hooked. And he'll get you, you get that first buzz, that first high. You know what you do after that? You chase it over and over. You'll never be satisfied. You just keep going. You want more and more and more. And that's because the devil can't satisfy you. Sin can't satisfy you. Hell and destruction are never full. They're never satisfied. So they just want more and more and more. You know what you need? You need more God. You need more Jesus Christ. Amen. Because He will satisfy you. Let's go back to Psalm 34. And looking at this satisfaction, David gives us here a little illustration. It says the young lions in verse 10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Well, I started to think about that. Well, young lions, they lack. Well, what are they lacking? They don't lack strength. You know, they're still lions. They're still a strong beast. They're still king of the jungle. A young lion doesn't lack zeal. You know, they're antsy to get away from the rest of the pride and start hunting on their own and doing things. But he's hungry because he lacks something. You know what he lacks? Wisdom. He lacks wisdom. And we know that wisdom, according to Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." He lacks wisdom. He lacks the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you're hungry, not satisfied in your life, you need to get some fear of God in your life. You need some more Jesus Christ. He'll satisfy you. All right, so I want to thank God again for answered prayer. I thank Him for His amazing presence, and then here His active preparation. He is always doing something in my life. Look at verse 11. It says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." I thank God for some teaching. I've been around some good teaching, some good teachers. Brother Don's a very, very good teacher. We've got a good thing in here. A man that loves God, loves that book, and is trying to dig in and get as much as he can so he can give it back to us. We've been around some good teachers. I've got some good teachers in school. Some men that have already gone home to be with the Lord, but have made a lasting impression and are still teaching young men and young women and older men and older women. People like James Lentz. Thank God for him. I never got to see him preach. I've heard some of the stuff online, but if you've never heard him, you're missing out. I can give you some stuff. He is a firecracker. And old redhead. He's originally from Detroit, Michigan, but moved down to North Carolina. And man, he is a firecracker. That is a preacher right there, and he's a teacher. His teaching is unbelievable. Some teachers like Brother David Peacock. Great preacher, great teacher. Someone that's still grooming me and trying to help me. I thank God for some teaching in my life. Some men like Brother Vince Massa. Great teacher, great preacher. Brother Greg Estep, another one, one of the teachers in here. I mean, just good people, good preachers, good teachers. You know why? Because God's always teaching. He's always trying to give you something. I don't want to shock anyone, but when I became a pastor, it's not because I had arrived or if I've attained. I didn't have everything learned, and then I could become something. The Lord's still teaching me things. He's still trying to guide me. And one of them's fearing the Lord. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. All right, and then he says in verse 13, here's one that I'm still trying to learn. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. And that's a tough one. That's a tough one, especially today when you don't have to use your lips and your tongue. You can use your thumbs to speak guile and speak evil. But that's something that the Lord's guiding me through. He'll guide you through. It's something that's something we all need to learn. It's how to get that stuff under control. Keeping the tongue. In verse 14, departing from evil. Now, there's still things that the Lord's trying to clean up in my life. Still trying to teach me some things. I'm sure He's doing the same in your life. That you didn't realize was unclean. That you didn't realize it was evil. But the more you're around God, the more you try to get closer to Him, the more He'll reveal to you. The more He'll teach you. I thank God for this book. Thank God for some good teachers. He said to depart from evil and do good. I'm still learning how to do good. And there's things. I'm still learning some things in my life. I'm still learning how to be a good husband. I could be a better husband. God's still teaching me some things. He's teaching me how to be a better father. I could do some things better. And I've not arrived by any means. He's still teaching me how to be a pastor. I mean, it's still fresh. I'm still learning. I'll be learning for a long, long time. Still learning how to be a friend. You know, there's things that the Lord will teach you. He's still teaching. He says to do good. And then He says, seek peace. Seek peace. And today, there's a lot of people that seek drama. People that thrive on it. That just can't. They're not satisfied unless they're around it. They like to stir the pot. Sometimes they're the ones causing the drama. Sometimes they just like to be near it so they can see what's going on. God says, depart from that stuff. Cut off the remembrance of, or jumping ahead myself. To depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. So these are things that He's teaching us, but He's also telling, all right, you've learned it, now do it. Pursue it. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Seeing yourselves. There's a lot of preachers out here that know a lot of things, know their Bible, but they're deceived because they don't do what they teach. They know what the book says, but they don't put it into practice. There's Christians like that. And, I'm guilty of that. There's things that I got to learn to pursue, to put into practice. All right, seek peace, pursue it. So that's His active preparation. He's always trying to teach us and to prepare us for something. And here, starting in verse 15, I thank God for His attentive protection. And he's always got his arms around me. He's always got a hedge of protection. Always, he's gathering like the chicks under his wings, is what the Bible says. Look at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. That's me. I'm not righteous because of anything I've done. I've got God's righteousness because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm in Him, so I have His righteousness, which means His eyes are upon me. His ears are open unto my cry. He's attentively listening and watching, making sure that He's got His eyes on me, making sure I don't get outside the fence, get outside those boundaries. Like Brother Don was teaching this morning, starting to scratch the surface there. You start to drift a little bit. You know he does. All right, come on back. Come on back into the yard. You're getting a little too far away. Get back here to me. And you know what he does? He says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. He's listening for us to cry out. He's listening for, Lord, I need help. Like Peter when he was sinking, Lord, save me. when he saw that the winds were boisterous. He called out to the Lord, and the Lord saved him, reached down his hand and pulled him up out of there. Lord's, he does us the same as he does for Peter. You need help? Cry out to God. His ears are open. He's trying to listen for your cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. I thank God that His face is against them that do evil and not me, even though I'm someone that does evil sometimes. Right, because I'm His child, I have eternal security. I don't have to worry about Him taking me out of Him. We're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. We're part of His body, the Bible says. So even though I mess up, this flesh might mess up, my soul is protected. I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. I thank God that His face isn't against me. Brother Don's been preaching and teaching on it, God turning or departing from people. I thank God that His ears and eyes are on me and open to me and to you. Why? Because we're His children. He's always listening. He's like that prodigal son. He's not the prodigal son, we are. He's like the father, always looking for the prodigal son to return. The father was out there and he saw the son coming. Why? Because he was looking for him. God's always looking for the prodigal to come home. And thank God for that. Look at verse 18. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. So thank God for that. We already hit on that. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth us be as a contrite spirit. I thank God that He's nigh. That means He's near. He's close to you when you have a broken heart. You know, the things that happened in the past broke a lot of hearts. My heart was broken. It was in pieces. And didn't know what to do. And the Lord was nigh. The Lord, I thank God that He was there to just take me in His arms, let me cry a little bit, and He was patting me on the back, telling me, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You might be brokenhearted now. You might have a contrite spirit now, but it's going to be all right. And if you're brokenhearted in here, your contrite spirit, God can do the same thing and will do the same thing for you. All you got to do is cry out to Him, Lord, help me. He'll be there. Thank God for His love and for His mercy, His loving kindness. I mean, He has been good to me, and I thank God for that. Look at verse 19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Amen. Many are the afflictions. I've got many afflictions. All of us have many afflictions. Look at that prayer list. You know what some of our afflictions are? Our lost loved ones. Yeah. Lost loved ones. Some of us have kids that are lost. Some have kids that are prodigal. Some might have husbands that are prodigal or lost. Or wives. There's a lot of people that have medical issues. You look at our prayer list. There's a bunch of people. This is a small group. That's a long prayer list for such a small group. We all know people that are suffering from cancer, that are hurting, or have infections, haven't been able to come home in months, stuck over in a foreign country because they're sick. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But Thank God for that three-letter word.
Amen.
But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The Lord delivers. I thank God for his deliverance out of our afflictions. You know what? Some of that stuff might not ever get fixed down here. We might be heartbroken and have lost loved ones that go to hell when they die. And it's going to be tough, and it's going to be hard to go through. There'll be things that you think about for years, for the rest of your life, that, man, I wish I could have done more. I wish that person would have got saved. And that deliverance might not come down here. One day God's going to wipe away all those tears.
Amen.
All those afflictions will be done away with. When we're up there in glory, after that great white throne judgment, he says he'll wipe all tears away. No more sickness, no more pain, no more dying. Over there, forever I will be with the one who died for me. Why? Because he delivers the righteous out of their afflictions. I thank God for that. And he redeems. Look at verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. He's going to buy us back. He's bought us, but he hasn't taken back his purchased possession yet. I thank God that one day we're going to be with him for all eternity. That we have that to look forward to. We have heaven in our future. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I thank God I don't ever have to worry about being desolate, barren, laid waste. That's not something that we have to go through. There might be some desolation down here. You might go through times of trouble, but it's going to be worth it all one day.
Amen.
When we finally get to put our eyes on the one who died for us, fall at his feet and thank him, wipe his feet with the tears in our hair like Mary did. Man, I'm looking forward to that. That the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him should be desolate. God's been good to me.
Amen.
And I thank him for that. He is a good God. There's so many words that can be used to describe him. And good seems like, you know, it's not good enough to describe him. But it's simple. And God has been good. And I kind of fibbed at the beginning of the sermon. I said this was a sermon not for you guys, or a message not for you. It was more for him, to praise him and to honor him. But look at verse 2 again. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's what I've been trying to do. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Hopefully I've made you guys glad. And hopefully I've put a smile on your faces. Just to remind you what God's done for you. Of how good he's been to you. I know there, we could go on for hours of how good God has been to us. Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I'm going to open it up. We're going to close with a word of praise. He said, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Anyone got something they want to say about how God's been good to them? Anybody? You can take 10 seconds. You can take 10 minutes. We're here to praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for talking. Ronnie and I are going to be celebrating 61 years.
Amen.
And then, and it's not all been good and happy. Some of it's been a lot of struggle.
Amen.
But one thing that God has really shown me, and you were talking about, you know, you're constantly learning. Well, I'm 77, and I'm still learning.
Amen.
And I've had to be humbled a lot.
Amen.
And since I've been here, believe me, I'm getting humble. And because I'm very outspoken with my husband, and I shouldn't be. And I've had to apologize to him for being, thinking I know everything. And not wanting to humble myself to him. But God's word is true.
Amen.
And after all these years, I thought I was doing everything right with my marriage. And I found out, since I've known the, really know the Lord and his word, I ain't been doing it right at all. And, you know, know, that word submission is very hard for me.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
It's my way of the highway, and I've always mm-hmm. been that way. And I love him so much.
Amen.
And God has just put more love into my heart. And the one thing that God has really done for me, and I think it's because I finally said yes. Okay. All right. You win. I'm going to do this. Is I've learned that we have to admit our faults. We have to constantly build up each other, husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And our pride just tears us apart. Tears us apart. I got to be right.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be right. And come to find out, God's right.
Amen.
God's word is right.
Amen.
So I just want to praise him and thank him, because I know without the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know where we'd be.
Amen.
I really mean that. And
mm-hmm.
I just thank God for that.
Amen.
And he's so good and patient. And you said long-suffering. Wow. I mean, he must laugh at us. I mean, because we just are so disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think we know it.
Amen.
We know. And God's word reveals that. And I just thank him for that.
Amen.
And I thank God that he's put me and my family in a beautiful church. Beautiful people. Who really, really believe the word of God.
Amen.
So I thank him for that.
Amen.
I just like to say that the family that prays together stays together.
Amen. 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 Anyone else want to praise the Lord? Go ahead, Kathy.
I guess I'd just like to praise the Lord for I struggle a lot with fear. I'm afraid of a lot of things, and I just feel like I just cry out to God. I say to God, God, just protect me and keep me safe. And mm-hmm. I feel like He is. I feel like
Amen.
I feel like I feel comforted, and
Amen.
I feel like my fear is turning into trust. And
Amen.
And I never thought I could have that.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Miss Laura, you have something?
Well, I wasn't going to, but since she mentioned her anniversary today, my parents would have been married 63 years, and it's hard to talk about them because I just get to mush. I know how stupid I am, and they placed me in a family and a parents that had their hand on me.
Amen.
And they were good Christian examples, even when people in their church, they were ostracized and, you know, just not the popular people, but they were so, they just lived according to the Bible, and they were discussed, and they kept their hand on me, and I praise Jesus Christ for it, because they based their marriage around him and his word.
Amen.
And I know that I would just be, I don't know where I'd be, and he had enough to place me under their care, and I just praise him for it. I praise him for my mother, who led my father to church, and he ended up getting saved and growing for the Lord, and then just her prayers for when I married Wes, he wasn't saved, and he ended up getting saved and being able as a disabled vet to work in a ministry at the veterans home and seeing old folks get saved and gone on to die and know that they're in heaven now. And I just thank God for my mom and dad, because I just praise him. I just praise him for giving me them today.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else want to praise the Lord?
I'm thankful for the Word of God. First of all, it's a mirror. You know, you read it and it shows you yourself what you need to do and how to get your heart right. But then it also has the comforting part that God's always with you. He puts his arms around
Amen.
You. People always say kids don't come with an instruction book, but they do. The Bible is an instruction book.
Amen.
Marriage. For children.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm glad God showed me that early on when I got saved. I mean, right away, it was like, whatever that says, that's what we're supposed to do. Not that I do, but I try. And I'm just thankful for all my family members and friends that have gotten saved, and my mom and dad that I know I'll see them again. That was a battle for years and years and years, but I'm thankful that they both asked the Lord to save them. And a lot of other family members that have gone on, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that even though there may be some that didn't go to heaven when they died, that God gives me peace. It's really hard, but He gives me peace about it because I know He's right and I'm wrong.
Amen. Amen. One thing I forgot to mention, I'm very thankful for this church, and I'm thankful for the journey that's gotten me to here, because it's, the church I got saved in wasn't, it was a Bible-believing church. They believed the King James Bible was the Word of God, and I thank God for that. They weren't a part of the Ruckman camp. They were more Hiles Anderson, but I thank God for that place. Amen. That's where I got saved. That got me settled and on the foundation of the King James Bible. I never knew exactly why, but I knew it was right. And later on in life, God put me into a couple different churches where that would be established, not just that the King James Bible was the Word of God, but why it was.
Amen.
And I thank God for each one of those steps to this journey, because each one had some growth. Each one had different impacts on my life. And I thank God for it. It hasn't always been easy. It hadn't always been fun. There's been some tough times, but I thank God for every step, because it's prepared me for this. I thank God for that. Anyone else want to praise the Lord? It said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Anyone want to? Go ahead.
Thank God for saving me, because I look back and I think, how in the world did I ever get saved? But I thank God for that. I thank you for the husband he gave me.
Amen.
It was a hard thing, even with the hearts on him and on our family. God's always guided him and given him wisdom. And sometimes we've left churches and I didn't know why and didn't understand it. And then God always showed me why that was the right thing to do, and I'm just very thankful that he knows the Bible and he studies it and preaches it and that he follows it.
Amen.
I'm just thankful. And I'm thankful for the kids we have, that they're all saved and that they're marrying people who are saved, or they are married to people who are saved, and I'm just thankful for the future, that hopefully they'll pass it down to their kids and their kids' kids and till the Lord comes back.
Amen. Okay.
I'm thankful for my salvation. Like Lori said, I never dreamed in 1,000 years that the Lord would save somebody like me. I'm thankful for Eddie.
Amen.
Believe it or not.
I believe it. I believe it.
For my kids, for the protection that the Lord's provided for all of us. By worldly standards, Eddie and I aren't much, but we are blessed beyond measure.
Amen.
And I'm just really thankful for all that.
Amen. Anyone else want to magnify the Lord with me? Amen. God's been good to me. And looking over at my family right here, that was good. When Jessica and I got married, we started trying to have kids. The doctor said it was going to be tough. We might not be able to. That we're going to have to, look at some different avenues possibly. And I just remember hitting the altar on a Wednesday night after the preaching was on Hannah. Where Hannah begged out to the Lord for a man child, and the Lord blessed her with one. And I did the same thing. Lord, if you'll give us one, I promise I'll give it right back to you. And that's what we've tried to do. Not long after that, Grace was here. And after that, it wasn't a struggle at all. It was a scary thing that they said that it was going to be tough to have kids. And, there was some medication for, that was used for the first, for Grace. But after that, God just took care of it. And I thank God for it, because, they're almost everything to me. I got the Lord. Remember, you got to have in proper order, the master, my wife, and my kids. But all of them combined, they're everything to me. I love them, and just love every second being with them. Amen. Anyone else before we close?
I could thank God for every person in this room for little individual things, but today I'm thankful for Uncle Ronnie.
Amen.
Yeah, because he gives me hope for my heart and ready.
Amen. Amen. It's a blessing. Yeah, remember to pray for that family. It's all of our family. There's a lot of lost people. A lot of lost loved ones. It said here that my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, we got to do boast on it a little bit more. Be a little bit more vocal in praising God and honoring Him and glorifying Him, magnifying Him. All right, let's go ahead and we'll close there.